Graphic Audio presents an original story of James Axler's Deathlands. Deathlands number 130, City of Dark.
Get ready. Those overhead doors are going to open when the car's roll bar hits them. They look like steel plate. Stay behind them as they unfold. They should stop any incoming if our new friends have beaten us to the surface. If we take no fire, we run like hell. Put as much distance between them and us as we can.
The car's cage hit the horizontal doors and made them swing apart. The elevator rose to street level and jerked to a stop. It was night.
What the?
It shouldn't have been night. When they had left the redoubt, it was afternoon. Their arrival in North Dakota should have been instantaneous. And it was a night so smotheringly dark that without the flashlights, they wouldn't have been able to see their hands in front of their faces. A jagged bolt of lightning blazed across the starless sky.
Carajo!
For a fraction of a second, it had illuminated the landscape that surrounded them. They stood at the bottom of a man-made canyon 100 feet across, and everything in sight was coated in the same dull, powdery black. The cobblestone street, the curbs and sidewalks, the parked cars with flat tires and broken windshields, the 3- and 4-story stone buildings jammed wall to wall. Little balconies with wrought iron railings looked down on the lifeless desolation. The few window frames that still had glass in them had flashed in the sudden burst of light. As the lightning winked out, the world was once again swallowed by darkness. Visibility was once more reduced to the range of their flashlights. Clouds of fine soot and ash drifted through the swirling beams, a blizzard of black snow. The air reeked of concentrated wood smoke, but there was no glow of fires nearby. It was difficult to take a deep breath, even with a mask over nose and mouth. They could barely see from one side of the street to the other. Beyond the area spotlighted by their flashlights, it was pitch black.
It's like being in a cave full of smoke.
Dark night, for real.
At least the damn bells have stopped ringing.
Christy tried to put her bandana over the girl's face, but she would have none of it. Their problem had just gotten worse.
Yep, they're coming for us all right.
Ryan stepped out from behind the cover of the steel door onto the cobblestones. He held his flashlight pinned against the frame of the Sig Sauer, scanning for targets in the direction of the noise.
Ricky, Doc, JB, take the kids. We move in formation. Jack on point. Mildred and Christy take the rear.
How are we going to stay together?
Christy handed the girl over to JB, who looked down at her warily. Doc took the dark-haired boy by the hand, then swung him onto his back.
Up you go, my lad.
Mildred passed the blue-eyed boy to Ricky.
And if we get separated, how will we find each other?
We aren't going to let ourselves get separated. If one of us stops, we all stop. We light up both sides of the street as we run. One of us shouts flashlights off or on, we do it. If they catch us in the open, we fight back to back. Let's move!
Jack took off, leading them away from the approaching mob.